إن شاء الله نكمل ما هيك. Let's continue. الله يبارك فيكم. ما شاء الله. الله يبارك فيكم. I know it's exciting. It's raining outside. And many people that you love are around you. Let's continue the class. الله يبارك فيكم. طيب.
وعليكم السلام. كيف حالك؟ ما شاء الله. شو اسمك؟
عمر.
عمر شو؟
عمر.
عمر شو؟
عمر.
ما شاء الله. أهلا بعمر. بارك الله فيك يا عمر. ما قصدت أنا أبو حميد.
طيب. الحمد لله وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وسلم. أسأل الله أن يرزقنا جميعا حسن النية. طيب. من من الإخوان حفظ هيك ترتيب الأنصبة في الإبل؟ Who among you memorized the different نصاب in camels, starting by the first نصاب until the end, just the نصاب without mentioning what would be لا. Go ahead. Go ahead. Five, ten, 15, 20, 25, 36, 46, 61, 76, 91, 121, 40. And then for every 40 and for every 50. Who can repeat that? Dana, go ahead. Five, 10, 15, 20, 25, 36, 46, 61, 76, 91, 121, and then? Okay, good. So, Asma, where is Asma? Stand up, stand up. Yeah, I caught you. Okay. So 76. What is the zakat due in 76 camels? Let's start from the beginning. What's the zakat due in 5? Either a one-year-old sheep or a two-year-old goat. طيب. In 10, 2. In 15, 3. In 20, 25. A camel, yeah. Why didn't you study Asma? Come on. Okay, who continues from there? Okay, I see the hand. Get up, please. I don't see who's the...
Hey, Ahmed, تفضل.
تفضل حاج. So in 25, what would one pay as zakah? 1 year old female? 1 year old female what? Camel. Okay, then in 36, 2 year old female camel. Then in 46, 3 year old. What did I say? Huh? Oh, 36 and 46. Yeah, 3 year old female camel. Then in 61, 4 year old female camel. Then in 76, 2 2-year-old female camel. Then in 91, 2 3-year-old female camel. Then in 121, 3 2-year-old female camel. طيب. Okay, so if you have 95 camels, what do you pay as zakah? It's correct. What's in 91? What's in 92? The same. 93, the same until reaching 121. Barakallahu feek. طيب, when we said, لما قلنا أنثى لها سنة واحدة, when we said a female, a one year old female camel, what's the status of its mother would be? Yeah, Ruba. Yeah, the mother is ready to be pregnant in this case. So in Arabic, what do they call it? Bintu Makhab. It is the daughter of a pregnant camel. It means the mother is ready to be pregnant. Its mother is ready to be pregnant. Okay, a four-year-old camel. What happens to a four-year-old camel? Who tells me? No other than Dana. Come on. Do I choose? Dr. Wissam. What happens to it? Which teeth? It loses the front teeth at this age. At which age the sheep loses the front teeth? Usually. Yeah. Whose hand is no? Muhammad La. غيرك. Haj Ahmed. Come on, yeah, I know a few people are raising their hands. You know, I see only the hands usually of Ahmed. I will not count, like few people only. Why not the others? Okay, go ahead, Kareem. 1 year old, yeah, correct. Or before that, sometimes it loses before that, Kareem. If the sheep loses the front teeth before that, is it valid to pay it as zakah for 40 sheep? It is? It is valid, correct, yeah. MashaAllah. Inshallah, I like to tell you a story, but I will delay it later, inshallah. We will benefit from it, but... الله يبارك فيكم جميعا. If you do not study, I know I said that before, but if you do not study, then what do you do with what you take? You put it on a computer or in a notebook, and then you keep it at home or... MashaAllah, we have a nice sitting here. We have speakers, nice weather, you can listen and hear. With many children making noises sometimes. But still, yani, it's not bothering. And yani, you have nice floor, nice setting, nice ceiling. I know many people who went to acquire the knowledge through a lot of difficulties. Much, much more than what we are facing. They memorized it. They understood it. They defended it. They preserved it for us. They put a lot of effort in that so we can enjoy the benefit of learning. Understanding. They made many things very clear to us. Yani, at least let us put a little bit of effort in reviewing and understanding and memorizing. I don't know what to say more. I think you understand very well what I want to say. So, inshallah, you'll put more effort in memo. Otherwise, Shubi'ulu, I lose the motivation. I might lose the motivation. I'm not threatening, yani. Just, yani. It is, Hajj. MashaAllah. One day I thought, okay, I will go and see one place where Sheikh Abdullah acquired the knowledge, okay, in Ethiopia. So I was in Addis Ababa, in the capital. We rented a car and we went there. It took us 2 days to arrive there. The distance is for 400 miles, maybe. About 400 miles. Yani 400 miles, you go here in 1 day, mahek. 400 miles, you are there easily in 1 day. It took us 2 days because the road So 300 miles, you are talking about 700 miles in areas which are not safe, in many areas that were not safe, let me say, when Sheikh Abdullah was acquiring the knowledge. When I arrived there, yani he went from Harar to Addis Ababa, from Addis Ababa to there. So when I arrived there, I was tired. Yani you can imagine, Mahek. I arrived to the place and I was looking around me and there was nothing except few trees with thorns and few, what do they call it? Cactus. Some cactuses and some sabr, I don't know how they call it in English. Minuwe? Cacti? No, sabr, it's another bitter, very bitter thing that you... And that's all what was there. There was a very, 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 very old mosque. Almost the ceiling was falling. Almost. There was no electricity. No running water. The people who are from Ethiopia, they know what I'm talking about. It's not an unusual thing to find areas like that. But that's how the situation. So this is the situation now. Imagine how it was like 70 years or 80 years ago. Sheikh Abdullah went walking from Harar to Addis Ababa, then from Addis Ababa to that area. He stayed there for a month and a half. Then he went back walking to Addis Ababa. So he went all this distance to stay there for 1.5 months to seek the knowledge for that period of time. Now, during that period of time, after some time, the sheikh from whom he was acquiring the knowledge, he told his students, when this man is here, no one other than him stands as imam in the prayer. You don't know who this person is. You don't know his status. This person is one of the walis. He was at that time 20 years old or so, and his sheikh was saying that about him. A person who lives there, who acquired the knowledge from the same sheikh, told me, he said, when I was acquiring the knowledge, I used to get happy when someone dies. I looked at him, said, yeah, because when someone dies, his relatives, they slaughter a cow or something to feed the people. And like that, I could eat meat. So you could see in which situation they were. So until now, there are people there who came from the different areas of Ethiopia. Some of them, you can't get to their villages by car. They came walking for a big distance to acquire the knowledge. They are staying there. Now the mosque is better. But the situation is still very much similar to how it was in the past. I think we are in a much better situation. Much more relaxing situation. So you might think that if you are in such situation, then you would put more effort. But it seems it depends on the heart of the person. Where the heart is oriented, towards what the heart is oriented. Either we stay like we pass our days, we live our days every day similar to the one before it, going to work, then getting back home, eating, sleeping. Alhamdulillah, everyone prays the five prayers. This is what I believe. Or we think that we need to acquire the knowledge more, to pay more attention to that, to spread it, to spread al-Islam, to spread the belief of Ahl-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah, to protect the belief of Ahl-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah. And this needs effort. If we don't do that, then we end at one day dying. We're all going to be like that. We're all going to die. And then, before I went to that trip, Sheikh Abdullah told me, "Did you visit the grave of Nur Hussein?" I said, "No. This is a great wali who lived many hundred years ago in Ethiopia, in southern." I said, "No." After some time, 2 days or so, he said, "Did you visit the..." I said, "No." Then after 2 days, he went again and asked him. He asked, "Did you go there? Did you visit the grave?" I said, "No, Sheikh." Then I told him, "It seems you want me to go there." He didn't reply. This is his way. Sheikh Abdullah is very nice. So he doesn't tell you, go, do like that. So I said, "It seems you want me to go there." And he did not reply. So I continued then. I said, "I tried before, but no one wanted to go with me. I didn't find a companion to go there." So he didn't reply. Then after a few minutes, he said, he gave me a name. I never heard this name before. And he said, "Contact this person. He might be able to find you, to find someone to go with you there." I said, "Okay, inshallah." So I knew he wants me to go there. I have no clue what to do, what to see, where to go, etc. This area is called Arusi. Yeah, it's called Arusi, and this area, I never went to it before, so I tried, it didn't work. And then at one day, mashallah, things got easy to go there. So I went in the car and we started heading south towards Arusi, at one point south towards Arusi. Then I started to see how the area is. It is like a dry area, mostly dry. Where I passed through, I didn't get to reach Nur Hussein anyway. So it was very, very poor area. If you go through it, then you could easily see that it's not easy to work there, to find a job also. The weather is harsh. It seems the weather was harsh the past few years. Even I didn't see cattle, I didn't see sheep, I didn't see anything like that. Not even few plants. And for you to know, the Wahhabis, they took advantage of this situation. They came there with their money and they built a mosque here, a mosque there, a mosque here, claiming to be from Ahl-Sunnah, claiming to teach the proper knowledge. And they paid people money, and the people are in need for money. So they attracted people here and there in that area. So that area, to a certain extent, not to exaggerate, but to a certain extent, is
is a strong Wahhabi, what hold, what do they call it, stronghold of Wahhabis, is a stronghold of Wahhabis. So I went there, I didn't know where to go. Then someone told me about a Wari who is buried in a place there, other than Nur Hussein. He told me he came from Al-Yemen to that area like 600 years ago or more. He came from Al-Yemen all the way to that area to teach, to spread Al-Islam. He lived there and he died there, and until now the people visit his grave. So I said, okay, let's go and visit the grave of this Wali. At one point of time, we arrived there with, yani, I don't want to say with my back broken, but it wasn't easy. So we arrived there to a very poor village. Next to it, there is a town, yani, it appears to have a better situation, better appearance. Then we arrived to that village where the Wali is buried. When you pass all the way, you see mosques. And you see that they are all built in the same way, the same way, the same way. And with time, you know how the Wahhabis build their mosques. So you get the idea that all of them are, yani, you start to think that all of them are built by Wahhabis. I asked, who built this mosque? They told me Wahhabis. And this one, Wahhabis. And that one, Wahhabis. Subhanallah. We got to that town. I asked, who built this mosque? They told me the Wahhabis. Then we got to a small village, very small village. There was no road after that. Yani, we were following the compass, kind of. We got to that village and we got down from the car. We stood before a building, whatever you want to call it, a structure. Yeah, okay. Built with sticks. It's like half from this, the length from that wall to that wall, and the width from this wall maybe to the fridge or before that, less than that. Built with sticks, only sticks, even with no clay on it, just sticks. And تن بصدي اللي بصدي عنا شو هو. Okay, with a metal, an old metal as a ceiling, zinc, yeah. With a zinc ceiling with some stones on it to keep it so the wind doesn't blow it off. We stood there, we got down. A person came out from that room, if you want. And I know how poor people are in Ethiopia. Maybe most of you do not know that, how they are really. I know. But compared to the poor people of Ethiopia, this person appeared very poor compared to them. So, subhanallah, yani. For me, it was shocking. Then another person came out. Then a third person came out. And all of them were in the same poor, very, very poor situation. You could know that they never changed their clothes. They have no clothes to change, no other clothes to change. You could know. And with no water, no running water there. So he came out.
And then they took us to where this wali is buried, a clay dome. Not all of it of clay, a part of clay and the rest, you know, with wood and grass on the top. We went in, we visited, we made dua, whatever dua we made. We recited Al-Fatiha. Then they brought us something, they put it on the ground under the tree, and we sat there. While sitting there, I heard voices from that building. I knew that that building was the mosque. This was the mosque. Because I heard the voices making dua, etc. from inside. So I knew that it was the mosque. An old man came wearing white qalansuwa, white rida, and he sat with us. So we started talking, and then he told me, he said, we talked, I mentioned the name of Wahhabis, and he said, our father warned us against the Wahhabis. He said, I taught for 16 years Al-Quran in a mosque in another town. He mentioned the name of the town. He said, and then at one day, the Wahhabis came to me. They paid some money to some people there in the town. The authorities in the town. And then they came to me and they told me, you need to be with us. He said, I told them, we do not follow the same religion. Your religion is different than ours. We are from Ahlul Sunnah, you are Wahhabis. They said, if you do not follow us, then we will kick you out from the mosque. He said, which means you aren't going to be paid after that. And he's an old person. I said, well, Allah is a Razzaq. You kick me out, Allah is a Razzaq. I will not sell my religion. So they told him, you are mushrik, you and the people who are with you. I said to them, what do you say about us? We are mushrik. We say about you, you are blasphemers. You do not pray behind us, we do not pray behind you. We do not eat what you slaughter. They took him to the court. I don't know how. They took him to the court. Well, at one point, the judge there prevented the Wahhabis from bothering those people, because every day they used to come to them, harass them, tell them, threaten them, telling them, you are mushriks, etc. So then the judge prevented that. I don't know if he could prevent the occurrence of the events, but at least they couldn't harm them through the court system. Then he said, we thought, okay, we will leave and we will come and live near this wali. So there we are. I asked him, how many people are you? So he said, 231 people or something like that, the whole village. I looked around, there was no traces of any cattle, any camel, any sheep, any plants, nothing.
You know, if you need to acquire the knowledge. He said, yes, of course. I said, so if you can send with us some among you young people, so they acquire the knowledge, they come back to you well knowledgeable. We know some, yani, a place where they can acquire the knowledge, the proper knowledge of Ahl Sunnah. He said, oh yeah. Hussein, he called Hussein. Hussein came. Hussein was his son. He told him, bring your things. Hussein doesn't have many things anyway. He said, yeah, bring your things and go with those people. Hussein bought his things very quickly. And he went with us to the car. So when we were going into the car, I'll skip that. Anyway, at the end, his mother came to say assalamu alaikum to him. So she was crying, and his father was crying. This old man, I was crying. The brother next to me was crying. What I want to say is this. It's not the crying issue. What I want to say is, you see how those people are? Just relying on Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. I was talking with this man. Everything I mentioned, he would add to it. Everything I mentioned, he would add to it. He knows. He knows the rules of the religion, many among the rules of the religion. He knows the danger of those Wahhabis. He knows who Ahl Sunnah are, etc. So that's why when they came to him, he was like a mountain. And he protected the people who were with him. To a point that they were all ready to move, all of them, to this place just to protect the religion. Just to protect the religion. And to leave out every little things they had. Every worldly little things they had. I'm not asking myself or you, Yani. I would wish for myself and for every one of us to be like that. But this is not what I'm saying. You come here, you take Allah yubarik fikum. You leave your job, you leave your houses, you come here to study, to listen to the classes, etc. If you don't study, then you lose the time. Many of the time, many of the benefit. MashaAllah can. I forgot to say something. Remember when I said we arrived where Sheikh Abdullah used to study with that Sheikh? When we were going there, we saw someone, we stopped at a place and someone from there was going there. And he said, do you take me with you? I said, yeah, of course. And he said, wait a little bit for me, I want to get something for the students there. Because it was the Mawlid time. So he wanted to get them something. We said, okay, he went. Then he came back with something. I don't know what. Sort of like ash, I don't know how you say. Covered with a piece of clothes. So we didn't know what he had. When we got there, the students who are studying there, we sat with them, we talked with them. And this person brought his gift for the Mawlid to them. And what was it? Who can guess? Apple? A book? No. Some sweets? No. A piece of bread. A piece of bread.
every one of them got a small piece of bread. He ate it, very delighted with a cup of tea, and I ate with them my share. Now we eat three times here in the camp. Yeah, a day. Yeah. Other than, yeah. So, yani, I hope we'll study more now, inshallah. Allah yubarakum fikum. I know, yani, I'm not saying this, yani, haki to. I have a good intention, huh? Yani, believe me. Just, I don't want you to lose your time. I don't want you to lose your time. That's all. كان خطاب لك خطاب لي انه الله يرحمنا يا سو هو حسين عم يدرس عم يتعلم somewhere no where was a good teacher يعني there are teachers though alhamdulillah لا بدو حاج ثلاث ايام ما قدر ما كان معي ما عاد معي وقت حاج كان الروحة عند نور حسين ضبطت بس بالمقابل بطل بيجي لهون يعني بتروح الطيارة ف let me tell you something. Haj Umar was asking, he asked me now, you didn't go to Nur Hussein? I said no, I missed the opportunity. Because when everything was arranged, I needed to delay my plane, my flight. I needed to delay my flight, and if I did that, that would be put behind in my schedule a few days. And if I did that, then I wouldn't be able to get here. So, yeah. I missed going there. Inshallah, someday I will. To be with you here. And you don't study. Allah yubarik fikum. I'm joking, huh? I'm joking. I'm benefiting from being with you here. I'm joking. طيب الحمد لله وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وسلم كنا تكلمنا عن زكاة الفطر في الحصة الماضية. We talked about زكاة الفطر in the past session. الآن نتكلم إن شاء الله إلى من تدفع الزكاة. Let's talk a little bit about those who deserve to take الزكاة. يجب صرف الزكاة إلى أصناف ثمانية ذكرها الله تعالى في القرآن أو إلى من وجد منهم. It is an obligation that a zakah would be paid to 8 different types of people that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala mentioned in Al-Quran. وَلَا يَجُوزُ أَن or to whomever exists among those types. وَلَا يَجُوزُ وَلَا يُجْزِ أَن تُصْرَفَ لِغَيْرِهِمْ. It is not valid and it is not permissible for the zakah to be paid to other than those 8 types. هؤلاء الثمانية ذكرهم الله تعالى في آية الصدقات. إنما الصدقات للفقراء والمساكين والعاملين عليها والمؤلفة قلوبهم وفي الرقاب والغارمين وفي سبيل الله وابن السبيل. Those 8 types are mentioned in Al-Quran in Surah At-Tawbah. In the verse, إنما الصدقات للفقراء والمساكين والعاملين عليها والمؤلفة قلوبهم وفي الرقاب والغارمين وفي سبيل الله وابن السبيل. إذا وجدت هذه الأصناف الثمانية لا بد من صرف الزكاة إليها كلها. If those 8 types of people, we are going to explain who are those 8 types. If those 8 types of people exist in the town where a zakah is paid, then a zakah has to be paid to all of them. وعلى الأقل إلى ثلاثة من كل نوع. And at least to 3 of every kind. إلا العامل لأنه يجوز أن يكون واحدا. Except for the one who is appointed by the caliph to gather a zakah and distribute it. It can be one. It might be one person only appointed by the caliph for that, by the ruler for that. النوع الأول من هؤلاء الثمانية الفقراء. The first type of those 8 types are الفقراء. والنوع الثاني المساكين. The second type are called المساكين. الفقير هو الذي لا يجب على غيره الإنفاق عليه وليس عنده إلا ولا يجد إلا أقل من كفايته، كأن يحتاج 10 ولا يجد إلا 4 أو 3. أما المسكين فهو الذي يجد ما يقع موقعا من كفايته لكن لا يجد الكفاية تامة، يجد نصف الكفاية لكن لا يجد تمام الكفاية، كأن يحتاج 10 فيجد 7 أو 8. Those two types, الفقراء and المساكين, are poor people. But there is a difference between them. شو حبيبي؟ الفقير لا يجد النصف. اوكي، بالعربي ما قلت كلمة النصف. لا يجد نصف الكفاية. كل لابد من أن إذا وجدت الأصناف الثمانية في البلد لابد من أن يعمها كلها، ثم لابد على الأقل من أن يعطى ثلاثة من كل صنف. هل في بعض تفصيل أكثر؟ أحيانا لابد أن يعطي الكل ببعض، لكن لابد أن يعطي ثلاثة من كل صنف إلا العامل، فقد يكون واحدا. ما نحكي فيها بعدين إن شاء الله. ما بيكفي شخص واحد حاج للطريقة اللي بيحكوا فيها بإخراج الزكاة، إنما الزكوات تجمع عند الخليفة، ثم الخليفة يوزعها على ما ذكر. طيب شو قلنا؟ وين كنا وصلنا؟ So there are two types of poor people. Some of them, they find half of what they need, but they do not find all what they need. Those are called al-masakin. And some are more poor than that. They do not even find half of what they need. This is the type called al-fuqara in Arabic. So in the verse, al-fuqara are mentioned and al-masakin. Know that both of them mean poor people. But al-fuqara are those who do not find even half of what they need. Al-masakin are those who find half of their needs but do not find the whole need. نعم. Half or more, but not less than, but less than all of it. القسم الثالث هم المؤلفة قلوبهم. وعندما إذا قلنا حاجاته لا يجد نصف حاجته، يعني لا يجد نصف حاجته الأصلية، أو لا يجد تمام حاجته الأصلية. لا نعني بذلك ما يزيد عن الحاجة الأصلية. إن كان يجد الحاجة الأصلية ولا يجد ما يزيد عليها فهذا ليس فقيرا في عرف الشرع ولا مسكين. When we talk about the needs, we mean the basic needs. If one finds, can acquire the basic needs but cannot find more than that, then he is not considered a poor person in the rules of the religion. أي مدي حاجة؟ الآن عند توزيع الزكاة شو حالته؟ إيه هلا حنحكي فيها حنحكي فيها. يعني إذا كان واحد عنده بيت وعنده أرض وعنده سيارة وعنده أساس البيت وعنده غير ذلك من الأمور، لكن الآن مثلا لا يستطيع أن يأكل كما يأكل غيره مثلا إلا أقل بقليل أو نحو ذلك، هذا لا يعد فقيرا. So if someone has a house, a piece of land, a car, a furniture in his house, but he can't, for example, afford a type of food that other people can afford, this is not considered a poor person. أو إذا كان لا يستطيع أن يدفع مثلا أقساط الجامعة لأولاده لا يعد فقيرا. Or if he cannot pay the tuition for his children, for example, to go to the university or to school, then such a person religiously is not considered a poor person. A poor person is someone who does not find shelter, who cannot afford shelter, who cannot afford clothes. It is cold and he doesn't have anything to protect himself from the cold, to wear it to protect himself from the cold. He cannot afford what to eat. This is a poor person. Someone like that. It's not like our sister said. Oh, I will not say that. Until asking if she permits, then I'll say it. If she does not, I will not say it. Someone, a person came to me and he told me, I have a poor relative. I want to give to give her a zakah. Her husband died, etc. Is it permissible to give her a zakah? I asked her, she was a woman. I asked her, well, does she have anything, any belongings? She said, she's a poor person. I said, I'm not discussing that. Well, does she own anything? She said, yeah, she owns the house where she lives. I said, are there any furniture in the house? She said, yeah, as usual. I said, does she need to spend, does she have little children? She said, no. She said, our relatives, they give her every month a certain amount of money, and her husband left her some money. I was looking at her like that. But she's poor, yani. I want to give her a zakat. I said, no, you cannot give her a zakat. Some people, they don't know what poor means. A poor person means someone who cannot afford the basic needs. This is what a poor person means. النوع الثالث المؤلفة قلوبهم. The third type are called المؤلفة قلوبهم. هؤلاء أناس دخلوا في الإسلام من جديد لكن ما زال في قلوبهم وحشة، يعني ما زالوا لم يتآلفوا مع المسلمين. هؤلاء يعطون من الزكاة لتأليف قلوبهم ولو كانوا أغنياء. This third type includes people who embraced recently al-Islam but they are not yet accustomed to the Muslims. That is, they still feel a little bit separated. They are not fully integrated in the Islamic community. Such people, as zakah is given to them, even if they are wealthy people. So even if one of them is wealthy, as zakah is given to him, so he would be more integrated in the Islamic community. أو كأن يكون أحدهم شريفا في قومه فيرجى إذا أعطى أن يسلم أمثاله. Or like if one of them has a high status among in his community, so it is thought or it is hoped that if he is given the money of zakah, other people of his status are going to embrace al-Islam. After embracing, I'm talking about someone who embraced al-Islam recently, then al-zakah would be given to him or her. النوع الرابع هم المكاتبون في الرقاب، أي الذين كتبوا مكاتبة صحيحة، يعني شارطوا أسيادهم أنهم إن دفعوا مبلغا من المال يصيرون أحرارا، اتفقوا مع أسيادهم على ذلك. هؤلاء إذا لم يستطيعوا دفع هذا المال يعانون من مال الزكاة حتى يتحرروا. The fourth type are المكاتبون، that is the slaves, the Muslim slaves who agreed with their owners to give the owners certain amounts of money, and if this is done they become free. If any among them falls short in gathering the required amount, then he would be helped from the money of zakah, so he would become a free person. النوع الخامس هم الغارمون، أي المدينون العاجزون عن الرد. The fifth type are the people who are unable to pay their debts. كأن استدان الشخص مالا في مباح ثم عجز عن رد الدين، فهذا يعانى من مال الزكاة. Like if someone borrows some money to spend it in a permissible way and then he is unable to pay it back, he is given from الزكاة to pay it back. أو استدان في حرام ثم تاب وظهر عليه آثار التوبة، فإنه أيضا يعان وعجز عن رد الدين. Or someone borrows some money to do a haram thing, to spend it in a haram way. He does. Later he repents and you could see that the traces of the true repentance on him. In this case, if he cannot give back the money, pay back the money, he would be helped from الزكاه. ويشترط ان يكون الدين حالا. For him to take from الزكاه, the debt has to be due. The debt has to be due. هذا يعطى من الزكاة ما يسد به دينه. In this case, they give him the amount of his debt to pay it back. النوع السادس ولا السابع؟ السادس. النوع السابع السادس أفينا لك أنشئ العاملون. طيب، النوع السادس هم المرادون بقول الله وفي سبيل الله، أي المجاهدون المتطوعون، ليس المذكورون في ديوان المرتزقة، إنما المتطوعون. هؤلاء يعانون على الجهاد من مال الزكاة. The sixth type is those who fight, who go to al-jihad without being paid for that. Without taking from al-fay for that. those people would be helped also by the money of zakah. النوع السابع هو ابن السبيل. The seventh type is ابن السبيل. المقصود به المسافر أو الذي يريد السفر سفرا مباحا ليس سفر معصية وليس معه ما يكفيه لسفره. مسافر قطع من المال أو يريد السفر وليس معه ما يكفيه لسفره، هذا يعطى ما يكفيه لسفره. The seventh type, as we said, is ابن السبيل. We mean by that someone, a traveler, who does not have any more money to continue his trip and get back home, or someone who wants to travel and he does not have enough money to make his trip, then he would be given from the money of zakah to go to continue his trip and get back home. حتى لو وجد من يقرضه فإنه يعطى. Even if he can find someone to take a loan from him, still he is paid from the money of zakah. ولو كان في بلده غنيا فإنه يعطى. Also, if he is a wealthy person, but while traveling he doesn't have any more money, then he is given from the money of zakah. He arrives to a town, he does not have any more money. In this town they are giving a zakah, he is one of those people who deserve a zakah. So they give him what is enough to continue his trip and then get back home. أما إن كان سفره محرما فلا يعطى حتى لا يعان على المعصية. Now if he is traveling, if his travel was haram, if the travel itself was haram, then he is not given money from az-zakah to help him. So we do not help him to commit a sin. والنوع الثامن هو العامل. The eighth type is the one appointed by the caliph or the ruler to gather az-zakah and distribute it. فهذا يعطى إن لم يكن مستأجرا ليفعل هذا. فإن استؤجر ليفعل هذا تدفع له أجرته عمله. This person is given from az-zakah if he is not hired to do this job. If the ruler hires him to do this job, then the ruler pays him the amount on which they agreed. ماذا يعطى من الزكاة؟ يعطى مقدار ما يعطاه مثله أجرة على مثل هذا العمل. Now how much do they give him from az-zakah? They give him an equal amount to what they give as salary to someone whom they want him to do this job. ويشترط لصحة دفع الزكاة أن يكون الآخذ مسلما. There are certain conditions that need to be satisfied in those people who take az-zakah. One of those conditions is for each one of them to be a Muslim, for the one who takes az-zakah to be a Muslim. وَأَنْ لَا يَكُونَ مِنْ بَنِي هَاشِمْ وَلَا مِنْ بَنِي الْمُطَّلِبِ. And that he would not be among the descendants of Hashim nor among the descendants of Al-Muttalib. ولا من مواليهم يعني ويشترط أن لا يكون عبدا هم حرروه لأنه إذا كان عبدا عندهم ثم هم حرروه يصير كأنه واحد منهم Also it is a condition that he would not be an ex-slave that is freed by Banu Hashim, the offspring of Hashim or Al-Muttalib. Because if he is freed by them, then he becomes as if he is one of them. And thus he does not take as zakah just as they do not take it. طيب نكتفي بهذا الآن إن شاء الله نكمل غدا. Let us stop here for now. We will continue tomorrow إن شاء الله. تفضل.
About this issue of being freed by Hashim or Bani Hashim, does it apply both to male and female slaves?
Yeah, male and female slaves. You know how people are descendants of different ancestors. So among the people of Quraysh, there was a man called Hashim, who is among the he is the ancestor of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام. His brother was called Al-Muttalib. So they were four brothers. Two of them were Hashim and Al-Muttalib. The descendants of those two brothers, Hashim and Al-Muttalib, it is not permissible to give a zakah to them, even if they are poor. Even if they are poor, it is not permissible for them to take a zakah. صح. ايه ساعتها فيه لانه ما بيكون هيدي ما بيكون سفر وحرام يعني with the Muslims that's what it means no the Islamic community where he lives Well, it means he does not have strong relations with the Muslims. This is what it means. He does not have to have relations with each and every one. No. If you give a zakah to someone, it is not an obligation that he takes it. Okay. I'll review inshallah. I don't remember. العامل مش أجرته بس يعطى قدر الأجرة. بيعطوه قد ما عادة بياخذ مثله أجرة. لا إذا استأجر بيندفع له أجرة. إيه أما إذا كان لم يستأجر يعطى قدر الأجرة لا ما هي one of the descendants of Hashim the same thing and his descendants Yeah, of course. No. If someone was an ex-slave and he was freed by one of the tribe of Hashim, then he becomes a member, as if he's a member of that tribe. Then his descendants also, his descendants, the descendants of this ex-slave, would be also among those people. They do not get take a zakah. The same. يشكوه إلى القاضي. يشكوه إلى القاضي. يشكوه إلى القاضي حاج. فيها باب تاني. شو تفضل صلاح الدين. ايه يحفظها الى ان يوجدوا. يحفظها الى ان يوجدوا. في قول بلى ان له ان يخرج الزكاة في غير بلد الزكاة. بلى. حتى لو وجدوا. لكن فيها شروط. تفضلي داوية. Yes, correct. Yeah, at any time. Yeah. No. Any of these eight can take any kind of zakah. Fiki. Now, the scholars, they said that if there are people in the town where a zakah is paid that have the basic needs of food or shelter or clothes not satisfied, that is, they don't have what they wear to protect themselves from the cold, for example, or to cover their awra, or if they don't have a place to live, a shelter, or they don't have food to eat, if there are people of this kind in the town where a zakat is paid, those ones, they need to be satisfied at first. All of them. So as zakah would be paid, the portion paid to the poor people would be paid to those people at first before anyone else. If there is more, then they would be given more depending on their situation, which means if the person is an old person, like, for example, 65, 70, etc. And he does not have money. In this case, and he's poor, and there is enough money of zakah, which would be the case if the Muslims pay as zakah as they should, then he would be given enough money for him to live for 1 year without the need of others. If he is not at that age, if he is younger, 20 years old or 30 years old, but he cannot work, he has a kind of disability, that prevents him from working, then he would be given what is enough for this person until he becomes old. That is, until the age to which most people live. There is a certain age determined in Ash-Shara for that. So, he or she might be given for the 30 coming years. And one act of zakah. If this person can work, but he does not find a job, in this case he would be given enough money to, like, to open a shop, to start a kind of work that gives him enough revenue. So this is how a zakah would be given, if there is enough money. If there are many, 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 many poor people that do not have enough food or shelter or clothes, then they start with those people first. So the share of the poor people would be distributed to those ones first. Now, if the zakah is not enough to satisfy their needs, then, and there is no enough money in the Muslim treasury to satisfy their needs, then the Muslims, the wealthy Muslims, they are obligated to satisfy their needs. They are obligated. It's not, something, they are sinful if they do not do that. Allah Ta'ala said in Al-Qur'an, وَفِي أَمْوَالِهِمْ حَقٌّ مَعْلُومٌ لِلسَّائِلِ وَالْمَحْمُومِ, which means, in their money there is a right for the needy people. لا حاج زكاة تمليك اوكي بدك تملكوا. It is not permissible to pay a zakah to bury someone, because when you pay a zakah, you give this amount to someone, so that person you transfer the ownership from you to someone else, and that person, you cannot transfer the ownership to a dead person of the money. So it is not valid. But if the offspring of this dead person are poor, then you can pay them. But not to the dead person. Naam, tfaddal idana. It depends. If a poor person, if you pay a zakah to a poor person because this person is poor, then yes, this money becomes his and he can spend it the way he wants. As long as it is a lawful way. But some types of those people who deserve a zakah, they take it to spend it in a specific way. So they spend it in that way, not in another way. Like if you give him money to pay back his debt, he pays back his debt with it. There are certain types. Inshallah, we'll discuss those cases in the future. Tafadhal Muhammad Ali. Any one of you? Right. Go ahead, right. المسألة ثانية نتكلم فيها فيما بعد. هي محمد علي. شريفا, لو كان شريفا في قومه لا يعطى من الزكاة. لحظة, كمل. إذا رجي أن يسلم نظراؤه, أسلم من قريب. Yeah, I wanted to say something. If you do not know, is the person a descendant of Hashim or Al-Muttalib or he is not, then do not pay a zakah to such a person. Yes. Before paying a zakah to someone, you need to know that this person is not a descendant of Hashim or Al-Muttalib. So do not pay to someone whom you don't know if he is a descendant of Hashim or Al-Muttalib or he is not. And likewise, if the person does not know about that, let him not take a zakah, even if he is poor. Hey Ali, what did you want to say?
They say if there are a lot of poor people and there are wealthy people, you said the wealthy don't assist the poor, that they're sinful. Is the ruler obligated to force those wealthy people to...
In the Islamic rules, if there is a ruler that applies the Islamic rules, then the ruler takes from their money whether they want it or not to satisfy the need of those poor people. Whether they want it or not. To the extent that it is permissible for him to take, if it is necessary in such a case. Yani we are talking about... the case of like famine, when they don't have food, like when they don't have clothes, or when they don't have a shelter. In this case, he can take all their money except for 1 year to satisfy those needs. Yeah. Tfaddal Hajj. مثلون يليق يعني شو مثل شو يعني لا ما بسأل إن شاء الله بس ما بيأثر إذا كان واحد قبل عم يشتغل مثلا مدير شركة لو فرضنا وبعدين ما عاد يعني شغله وقف ففتح محل خضرة مثلا أو نحو ذلك ما بيأثر هذا إذا قادر يفتح محل يبيع خضرة أو محل يبيع شيء آخر أو نحو ذلك هذا لا يعد فقيرا إذا قادر على ذلك إذا يجد ذلك بس اللي خطر ببالي أنه إن كان لا يجد من العمل إلا مثل رفع الزبالة أو ما شابه ذلك هذا إن شاء الله بسأل فيه إن شاء الله وبيكم أبو عبها الزكاة what basic needs you are talking about he doesn't have a shelter then he's if he doesn't have a shelter then he's poor if he cannot provide a shelter then he's poor بعض الفقهاء قال يجوز دفع زكاة الواحد لفقير واحد يعني some scholars said it is permissible to pay the zakah of one person to one poor person So it doesn't have to be three at least, etc. Some scholars said he can pay to one person, it's enough. It's lawful. بيعطي ايه بيعطي الى الحد الذي ذكرنا لكن لا no you can give money to someone as zakah without informing the person that this is zakah. You do not have to inform him that this is zakah. If someone knows about another person that he is poor, and this one wants to pay as zakah, so if this person is young, then yeah, he gives him enough money if he can for the second person to be able to open a business that would be enough to sustain him. Yeah, this is the amount of money that he gives him. If this is your question, then this is the answer. If you are asking that if I have to pay a zakah, do I give it to the poor people, or is it permissible for me to open a business to keep with this amount of zakah, to keep giving the needy people or the like, or let them work? If this is your question, then the answer is no. I have to give it out to someone else, to a deserving one. Like, for example, if X is poor, to give him enough money so he can open a business that generates money, yeah, it is permissible. That's what it should be done. You open the business for him? You give enough money to him for him to open a business. Yeah, this is good. It is better to give a zakah to your relatives if they are poor than to give it to other than the relatives. It is better to give it to the relatives than other than them, if they are poor. Of course. Even this is an excuse to delay paying a zakah. That is, you have to pay a zakah now, for example. But you have a relative, a poor relative, who is away, he's coming to the town, but he's not at town now. This is an excuse for you to delay paying a zakah until he comes. It is haram to delay paying a zakah when it's due. But for such excuse, it is permissible. Because it is better to pay it to a relative than to pay it to other than the relatives. يجوز تأخيرها لمستحق قريب. ما هو عند الشافعي هاي ما بتمشي, لأن هول بدهم ياخذوا حصة وهول بدهم ياخذوا حصة. هذا لإلك أو نحو ذلك, يجوز. ما هدية؟ من هدية. Okay. Can someone who has dirhams and want to buy with them crops like dates or raisins, and when there isn't anybody using this kind of money anymore? Yeah, the person can buy with dirhams or dinars even if people are not using them nowadays for that. You can buy a car with wheat. You can buy wheat with barley. You can buy a house with a car. So you can buy dates with dinars and dirhams. That is permissible. If a woman is traveling without a hijab, she doesn't wear anything to cover her hair. So is that considered? If a woman is traveling without covering her hair, then you do not help her to do that. Yani, if your sister, if your mother wants to travel without covering her hair, if you are a male, then you don't take her outside in front of the people, because that would be helping her to commit a sin. And you don't want to do that. البالغ الفقير. If there are no poor people in the town, according to some scholars, to some imams, you can pay a zakah. If you live in one town, you can pay a zakah in another town. In any case, there is no order. Go ahead. Yeah, well, they can give her a zakah, but you don't help her to travel like that. That's
and also, if someone is traveling and they need to give money, say zakah, and say they are paying for the money, then they can give zakah. And they're not in their own account. They have to find a worker.
If someone is away from his money, this is an excuse for him to delay paying a zakah. Then he pays it in the town where he is. Yeah. Al-Fitr, you are talking about Al-Fitr. If someone gives the money of zakah to someone, and then later he discovers that this person who took the money is a descendant of Hashim or Al-Muttalib. For example, he is a descendant of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. He goes back to him, he tells him, give me back the money. You do not deserve that money. Give it back to me. He takes it back and he gives it to someone who deserves it. Yes, Salahuddin. يدفعون حصة توزع حصة الفقراء على باقي الأصناف. If at one place you cannot find poor people to pay a zakah in one town, there are no poor people. In this case, the share of the poor people would be distributed to the other types that deserve a zakah. Aren't they 8 types? So if you take out 2, then the share of those 2 would be distributed to the other types who deserve a zakah. What do you think if we stop for now? Yeah, let us stop for now. Barakallahu fikum. خلونا نهلل. لا إله إلا الله. لا إله إلا الله. لا إله إلا الله. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.